Morning. It's a pleasure to be here. I've been recruiting at CBC on and off for about 20 some odd years since I worked at Ashland and now at AGTS. And speaking of AGTS, I brought some literature. It's back there somewhere. Anyone has where that is at? Somewhere there's some applications back there. And just because we love you, do you know that? We love you guys at AGTS. We love you. All right, and we want you to come and study at AGTS. So today, if you have your smartphone, you can text 31 three times and type in AGTS and send. You'll get a chance to win a $100 gift card from Amazon and gives you something to spend on, like books or something like that, whatever you need. But in the meantime, you also learn about AGTS and you know, and may get your questions answered. Isn't that neat? I mean, I came prepared, right? And also, there are cue cards back there, so you can scan it on your phone and find out more about AGTS. So all that, it's plugged for AGTS. It's done. It's out of the way. Now I can go on to my sermon, correct? All right. So if, and I can control this, right? Awesome. I love control. Yeah. Well, I'm here to have some fun with you this morning. It was already said that I grew up I was born in a little place called Goa in India. And my family moved in 1960 from there to Africa in 1961. And this is where I grew up in Africa. And I had a chance to go back to Africa two summers ago to visit the place that I grew up at. Some of the work that we've done were with AIDS patients. You know, AIDS is rampant in Africa. And I took a picture of this because these were fresh graves that they were dug. And the cemetery had just opened and it was already packed and full. And so you can see where they put little plates and things like that that were significant to the kids and the mothers and so on. So they put them up on the graves. So, and this is, I'm going to show you some pictures. This is where one of the buildings that I recognize. I lived on the sixth floor up there with my family, part of my staying in Africa. And those little, discrepancies in the building looks like browned or something. Those actually were holes of ammunition that had gone through that building. Bullets and, mortars and whatnot. They have repaired it. And so if you look down the street, most of the buildings now are repaired. So sort of nice for me to see there was some healing. I was 17, roughly, when I was forced to leave that place and in the midst of a war. And, while we slept, my brothers and I and so on, bullets would come through the windows and so on and so forth. You know, that left a scar in my soul, and I'm not sharing this so you could feel sorry for me or, a sensationalism type of thing, but I want to talk about the purpose of pain today. And I think this is fitting because if there was a time in my life where I have memories and it was painful, this is it right there. I can actually put a crossroad and say, you know what? I don't want to go back there. But it was kind of neat that I went back and God took me back there. And I promised myself that I'd never go back there again. And of course, God has a sense of humor. How many know that? Right? Because my son comes back home. He makes a couple trips, missions trips out there. Like, Dad, you have to go back. And I'm like, are you crazy? Are you kidding? I don't want to go back there. But it was so nice to go back with my kids and show them where I grew up and what I had experienced. So just to give you a picture of what it is today, that's a homeless person just laying on the street, nothing to eat, nothing to wear, just laying there. So if you open your Bibles with me today, John chapter 5, and I'm going to read some of this passage to you, or some of these passages to you so that you get a frame of reference. So sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now, there in Jerusalem, near a sheep gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades, were a great number of disabled people used to lie the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. And I'm going to stop there because I want to give you also a frame of reference, if I could find that pool. And I'm going to jump ahead because I want you to see architecturally where that is. So just to give you a visual, this has been what they found, and this is somewhat of the remains of the pool, and people would just kind of sit there and wait for healing, for certain procedures to take place so that they could take advantage of healing. And while you're looking at that, I want to kind of highlight a couple things. When Jesus saw this man, well, you know, if we go on from Scripture, one who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" So I get a feeling that people go there and they wait. You know, in those days, the water used to be stirred up, you know, and there was a sign, and then you would rush up to the water and get into the water, and you experience healing. And in this case, the man was waiting for this to happen, but because he was in this condition, he couldn't rush up there and get in the water because people would jump ahead of him, and consequently, he'd be left out. But this happened, you know, consistently with him, and so he was just dismayed, despaired, discouraged. And for 30 years, he couldn't experience any healing because of what had to take place. And I find it ironic that all the aspects of life and the conditions and the pain that people were experiencing, God would highlight this one man, picked him out of the crowd, and had an encounter with him that day. You know, I think sometimes we like to tell ourselves that pain is not something we want to experience, and that's fine. Who likes pain? Right? That man didn't like pain. He was in pain. People that were expecting healing that day or those days or around this pool didn't want that pain. They want to rid of themselves of the disease, the sickness, and whatever else they were suffering from. And they came with an expectation. They wanted God to heal them. But what is interesting to me is that this guy didn't. He was just sort of there anymore. He's sort of given up on the idea that possibly God could heal him or he could experience healing in that process. So in light of this scripture, I just want to kind of put that in perspective. Several years ago, I was faced with some challenges. Candidly speaking, I needed healing. And I did. But I sort of got like this guy, okay? Because I knew God potentially could heal, but all this pain that I described to you briefly was just repressed in there. You know, you kind of ignore it. You don't deal with it. You understand God can deliver you from it, but you go on and you say, well, you know, for whatever reason, I can't experience healing. God has chose not to heal me. And it was kind of funny because when you do that, the repression of that pain, it pops up in different ways. Have you ever noticed that? Well, let me explain what I mean by that. Sometimes you deal with people and you find yourself being sarcastic. Have you ever experienced that? So instead of being loving to people, you say, well, you know, it's okay. I don't need healing. I'm fine. Well, I need healing, but I'm going to ignore it. And I'm going to keep going. And so it's not going to affect me. And so I'm just going to move on forward. And you do that. But in the process of doing ministry and going forward with your life, you're not quite the person you need to be in God. And you start zinging people left and right. And you know, when I pastor, I found myself, you know, looking at people And sometimes I'd get tired of looking at them and they wanting so much from me and me not being able to give them or provoke change in them. And I would want that for them, but you know, I wanted to do it myself. And I would ignore the things that I had to deal with personally so that God could use me effectively and differently. So I would zing people. I'd confess, I had to deal with that. But the worst part of it is the church is a pool. It's like this. And you know, your congregation, people around you need healing. And, you know, you try to speak life into them. You try to encourage them to jump in this pool. And they themselves don't know how to do that. So you got yourself as a pastor needing healing, needing transformation, needing to be changed, needing to understand how to deal differently. And you have a congregation of people that don't know how to jump on this pool. You know, I think if I'm transparent and honest, and I don't want to scare anybody here about ministry, that's not my purpose here this morning. Actually, it's quite the contrary, to encourage you, because ministry is wonderful. But God doesn't let you get away with anything in that process. That's what I'm trying to point out this morning. And that when you're leading people in Christ, you understand the fact that when you're looking at them, you need to look at them with eyes of compassion and love. And you have to be able to deliver that. So you have people in the congregation that really need healing desperately, and they don't know how to get it. So what happens? They get into affairs. They start getting upset about things in the church and they tear each other apart. They got a lot of anger in them, but they don't know how to process it properly. Instead of loving each other, they tear each other. They destroy each other. And you as a shepherd, you know, you get tired of that process sometimes. So if I could place you back in this pool, there it is. Some people need to be healed, okay? They don't know how to get healing from God because, like this man, they get to a point where they're just dismayed, discouraged. They provoke sort of a sarcastic remark. You know, I love the response this guy gave to God because it's so indicative. When Christ says to him, "Do you want to get well?" And look what he says. "Sir, I have no one to help me into the pool. When the water is stirred, I am trying to get in and someone else goes ahead of me." So he's honest with God. He says, "You know what? I know what you're talking about, but I can't get there." But I love the fact, if you could just pause for a minute, I love the fact that God is honest with him. Not only honest, he's the best therapist I've ever known. With one quick question, God provokes this person into self-reflection. And he says sarcastically to God, "Don't you get it? I mean, haven't you been seeing this? Let me give me some liberty here, because I'm gonna translate what this guy's saying, okay? It's basically, don't you get it? I mean, come on, what's with you? Can't you see those people jumping in? Look at me. Look at the stage that I'm in. Are you kidding? You want me to jump in that pool and get healing? I mean, are you blind?" See, that's the kind of introspection, that's the kind of interaction that we're not taught to have with God. So what happens is we start projecting stuff in other people that we shouldn't be. I love C.S. Lewis. You guys love C.S. Lewis? Come on. Have you read C.S. Lewis? Yeah, C.S. Lewis. Good. "Pain is the megaphone of God. God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pains. It is his megaphone to rouse the deaf world." So, see, I don't blame anyone for not wanting pain. Do you want pain in your life? No one wants pain, right? But it serves a purpose. It tells you, pain is sort of a reflective system that tells your brain or tells your soul, hey, you're overwhelmed here. Come on, guy or gal. I mean, hey, wait a minute. Just stop for a minute. I am speaking to you. It's your system speaking back to you and say, listen, you got to take a minute here. Let's deal with this stuff that you got because it's painful. We moderns in our comfort control environments have a tendency to blame our unhappiness on pain, which we identify as the great enemy. If we could somehow excise the pain from life, we would be happy. That's from Yancey. He says that. The role of pain is important. It's through pain, suffering, that we experience the most profound encounters with God and consequences of change and healing. So, again, let me take you back to this pool. You know, in my own case, I began to be caustic, sarcastic, and I was even sarcastic with God. I mean, I had the same response this guy had when God nailed me. Come on, God, can't you see? I mean, I don't have the energy to go back in that pool. It's all their fault. It's not my fault. And you know, my pain is mine. It's my story. And you have your own story. And if you don't think you have pain, that it's unprocessed, I'm going to challenge you this morning that that's not correct. You have some sort of issue. You know, I think my job here, in some sense, was done with the prophetic word that happened here. Because God wants to touch you profoundly in places that you not thought possible yet. I think ministry is the greatest furnace that I ever encounter. The temperature goes up. The stress level provokes you to think about things that you never thought possible or impossible. It just pushes you in areas that you thought, I'd never deal with this, but you know what? You have to. So God, through that process, through that fire, purges you, changes you, heals you, and begins to change your person into a person that you need to be for His use. Right? So I think this idea that we want to run away from all this, it's not advisable. Because it you can't just run away from it. You got to deal with it. So, are we having fun yet? All right. God is the one catalyst in this in these instances. He's the only one that we will find the proper meaning for difficult and painful experiences in our life. It's nothing else, okay? And let me go back to what I said earlier. People try drugs. People try numbing their pain in many different ways. People try, you know, and they don't succeed. Because that's not the solution for it. While it has a function, it needs to point you to God. While it tells you you're overwhelmed, it needs to send you right back to God where you can get delivered and healed and cleaned and experience freedom from that. Sometimes I just sit there and I reflect on it and I say, you know what? I have two wonderful kids. I'm going to gain another one because my son's getting married. And I want to show you, I don't know if I have a picture of my family here, but my daughter works at AGTS. My son goes to SAGU. I'm sorry. He didn't come here, but you know, this is a wonderful place. And, he did consider it though, but God called him there. And so I look at my family and I think, you know, this isn't something I deserved. I mean, if I was to take stock of the things that I experience, and again, I don't want to be sensationalist about it. I mean, having a great family and having sound kids and kids that love the Lord isn't something that I would say, wow, that's an automatic, you know, you get it. No, you don't. I thank God for His grace. And I thank God that the healing that I experienced, because of that, God was able to do something wonderful with my family. So I think this morning you're probably sitting there and think, well, what has that got to do with me? You know, let me just provoke this in you. God gives new meaning for the painful experiences that you have. And for mine as well. He has to. You can't get stuck there. You have to move on. And if I could just tell you a little bit about what I think about this guy that God spoke to. He had lost all hope for healing. He was not capable of healing himself, obviously. He could not or did not want to change anymore. He lost the will to change, basically. And he clearly was projecting some real anger and sarcasm. Just reflect on it. But you know, that didn't deter God. Because it's at that point that God really loves to have an encounter with you. It's at the point where you say, you know what, I've had enough, I'm fed up, that God does His best work. It's the point where you just let go, that God takes over. It's at that point where you say, you know what, there's no hope for me, that God gives you hope. It's at the point where you've just given up in all the world around you, that God restores hope in humanity and helps you see people differently than you already have or that you're doing at the time. It's at the point where you say, you know what, these people are all messed up, what am I doing here, that God gives you meaning for why you're there and projects ministry through you that you never thought possible. It's at the point that you say, I'm worthless, that God says, no, not really, I have purpose for you. It's at the point where you just say, you know what, forget all of this, I am walking out of here, that God says, wait a minute, you're not walking out, I'm not done with you yet. It's at the point where you say, you know what, I have nothing more constructive to give to anyone, that God restores that into something wonderful, and you begin to marvel at the things that God does through you, despite your attitude. And it's at the point that you think it's impossible that you see the greatest change in yourself. See, the guy didn't need the water to be stirred up anymore. He had an encounter with God Himself. And at that point, I'm not sure if he was getting it, but it didn't matter because he had that encounter and God evoked a provocative question. Do you want to change? Do you want to be healed? And just when you think that you're sitting there and you don't have to answer that question, guess what? God is not going to let you off the hook today. Do you want to change? And you know, when you're standing in front of God, forget it, the whole thing melts down. Have you tried to run away from God? I have all these elaborate systems of denial, lying, running away, hiding, deflecting God, not answering His questions directly, giving them excuses for why I'm not doing certain things. I'm sure I'm unique, right? You guys don't experience that. But I love God. I mean, I referred early to say that, you know what? He's the best therapist. Well, He has a way of putting His finger in my heart. Like, I can't even do that physically. I wish I could do that with people. Provoke reflecting questions where they're to the point where they have to face their issues. Well, God does that so well that I like to copy that. Seriously. I want to copyright that process. And it comes from the left, the right, you don't even know. It comes from people that you're not expecting from. Do you know you serve a great God? So Jesus says, get up, pick up your mat and walk. At once the man was cured, and he picked up his mat and he walked. You know, his physical healing caused quite a commotion. And this is the last point I have. When God does something in you, it doesn't just affect you. It affects everybody around you. It affects your community. Because, you know, people that were used to me reacting and responding a certain way, I changed. So my buttons began to be different. And they, honestly, they didn't know what to do with me. Instead reacting, I begin to love them through. Instead resenting them, I begin to sort of accepting them where they're at. Instead wishing they were someone else, I begin to accept them for who they were and the hopes that God would do something different in them. If you don't think this is an important lesson in ministry, ministry is great. It's fantastic. It's awesome. It's all the pleasure that I can possibly handle. But it also requires so much of you. And what I mean by that is, it's not just the physical demand that you have in the process, but it's the ability to reflect on who you are as a person in God and to change so that you're more effective, I should say, in ministering to others. I guess the greatest healers that I have known are people who have suffered, are people who have experienced pain. You know, let's be honest. I had this concept that once I was saved, and now this sounds naive, okay? But let's just humor me. It was just going to be a smooth road. How many of you believe that? Nobody? It's not a smooth road. It cannot be a smooth road. And I thank God, listen, I don't avoid or try to run from it anymore. In fact, I embrace, this sounds kind of masochistic, but it's not. No one loves pain, but you have to understand the purpose of it. And God uses it to transform you, to point out some things in your life. It's your system telling you that you're overwhelmed and you need intervention. That is a natural part of you. And so rather than running from it, I just process it now. I have conversations with God. How many of you truly can converse with God? I take a page from this guy. He had an encounter with God and he was transparent. But God didn't let him get away with anything that he was dishing out. In fact, God confronted him. And so out of that encounter, you experience tremendous healing. Let me just close with this. Healing comes with a cost. Jesus, in slide number 12, and don't pay attention to my slides. Jesus found him in a temple and said to him, "See, you are well. Stop sinning or something worse will happen to you." When you experience that deliverance from God, that freedom that comes with honesty and transformation, then God expects you to be different. You can't act the same way. I mean, seriously, you know, people think that, okay, wow, this is done, it's good, I'm transformed, now I can go back to my old ways. No, you can't do that, because you know what? The way you react to it, the way you are transformed, the way you are designed to do that, is that you impact your friends. And I've said that earlier, but, you know, you'll notice things that are different. You're like, your friends were going to say, well, you know, I don't understand, why don't you react anymore to what I said? Well, you don't need to do that anymore. You just love them through it. So it comes with a responsibility. You have to embrace it. Let me read you in closing Philippians. Hope means simply to believe that something good lies ahead is not the same as optimism or wishful thinking. For these things simply imply its denial of reality. Yet hope saves us from pessimism, the belief that the universe is a chaos without final meaning. True hope is honest. And that's what I'm advocating in closing. That an encounter with God, when it's based on truth and in reality, you don't have to wait around the edges of the pool. You need to jump in. You just don't need to wait there and give God excuses as why you can't go through that process. You need to answer God when He asks you why. Don't you want to change? And an honest conversation with God is very helpful in the healing process. So, in closing, I want to say this. Don't run from God. Don't be afraid of the pain that you experience. Let God use that. Let Him give you new meaning for it. Let Him heal you from it. And then use that to reach out to people in a new way. Help them through the same process that you are going through. Help them experience healing. You know, healing is not just physical. And notice that God really addressed the emotional before He got down to the physical. Healing can be emotional. And in fact, a lot of the physical, if you look at the medical research, is connected to the emotional. So, if you have emotional pain this morning and you need physical healing, I want you to come right here. I want you to experience God. You know, I love that introduction and that prophetic word we had. God is real. God is here. Amen. And He wants to meet with you. He doesn't want you to create excuses. He doesn't want you to run from Him. He doesn't want you to just look the other way. He doesn't want you to hide. He wants you to be real with Him. He asked you a provocative, honest question. Do you want to get healed? And you need to have an answer for that. Come, let God touch you today. I don't know what you're suffering from. I don't know what's in your past. I don't know how you're wired. I just know that God wants to take all of that and give you a new meaning for that and transform you into a new person. I know that God wants to do a good work in you because He's not done with you, okay? He has plans for you. I love John 10:10. I'm going to close with that. What does God say in John 10:10? Anybody? Yes. He wants to give you life this morning. Come up here. Let Him touch you. Thank you so much. God bless you.